Hey, Chattanooga friends, just a quick reminder that today, Tuesday, March 7th, are our local elections. So before heading to work or on your lunch break or on your way home, don't forget to go vote. Today, we are selecting our mayor as well as our city council. And if you come to the camp house with your I voted sticker, you will get a free cup of our Mad Priest coffee. So please get out there and participate in your right as a local citizen to select our leaders that will help shape our city into the future.
One way or another, this city's transformation over the next 20 years is going to be at least as dramatic as over the last 20. And the truly scary prospect for us is not that increasing poverty and inequality would mean failure for Chattanooga, but that it would continue to pass for success. Do we become this community of opportunity, or do we default to a divided future? And that's why Dialogues Chattanooga is my attempt to get answers to that question. And to put them together and to offer them as a resource for you listening to this. I hope it helps you think through your own questions, your own best way to make that positive difference, and to keep that perspective. Because again, this window of time, what are we doing in 2017, 2018? That will make all the difference. And so my pieces are about some of the biggest ways that Chattanooga is stepping up to the challenge.
Robert Winslow is a local documentary filmmaker. In 2014, Robert moved back to Chattanooga to explore the shifting narrative in the South, and he started right here in his hometown with his documentary, The Chattanooga Story. Since that release, he has remained interested in exploring the big questions facing our city and has created the Dialogues Chattanooga series. In this episode, Robert and I discuss these challenges and the hope that we share for Chattanooga to overcome them and create a more equal, trusting, and thriving community for everyone. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. Robert, welcome to the podcast.
No, thank you for doing the podcast, Matt. Great minds. This is great.
Yeah, I do see a lot of similarities in some of the stuff we're doing. I think you've been a little bit more intense about it even than I have. But we're going to get into that because I'm really excited to share what you're doing with your film with my listeners. And so we're kind of jumping ahead already with that. But first of all,
important to tie together that conversation. And that's what we're...
That's the point of this episode of the podcast, for sure. First of all, do you go by Rob or Robert?
I don't care. Robert always feels unnatural to me.
All right. Well, Rob is a local filmmaker, local documentary maker here in Chattanooga, and he's just actually released a whole new series of episodes that we're going to be talking about today, focused on poverty here in Chattanooga and some of the education issues and stuff like that. So that's what we're going to get into. But before we get there, Rob, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, because are you from here?
I am, and it's not the first episode that I put out is about poverty. The series itself, we'll be publishing over the course of the spring, I think mostly at a premiere event that I'm organizing for maybe April or May, and that I'm really excited about. I'm really excited about what I'm able to present. So it's not all about poverty, but poverty is always there because poverty is always here in this community. Same as race, same as class. And when we think about what the big questions for the future are, technology, you talked about transportation here. We've talked about housing, real estate development on this podcast. To tie these things together and make it more intuitive for people to step forward into where they can make the difference right in front of them. That's what this community is about, needs to be about. Okay. And we're just trying to be a resource for that.
And so you grew up in
Chattanooga. I'm from Chattanooga. I grew up, well, I was born in Franklin County, came here, started school on Signal Mountain through middle school, and then graduated arts and sciences, and then got out of here. As that was the attitude, got out of here. And yeah. I never thought I would come back. And when I did come back, it blew my mind how much
the city's changed. Yeah.
Because I left a month before the Volkswagen announcement.
Okay.
And came back basically in the summer, early fall of 2014.
So where did you go off to college at then?
It's called Sarah Lawrence College. It's a little liberal arts school. It was my dream school. It was honestly the only college I applied to because I was way too cavalier about the idea of not going to college at all. And it just ended up working out perfectly.
Where's that at?
It's just north of New York City in Yonkers.
Okay. And did you study film there, or what did
you? No, I studied business and philosophy. Okay. That's what I tell people. But I am a Bachelor of Liberal Arts. Okay. The first time I picked up a camera with the intent of making something really was in the winter of 2013, after I had decided to just drop everything and run off to make a web series.
So how did you go from, you know, being a business and philosophy major into filmmaking and wanting to make documentaries? Like, what was that calling? What was that pull like? What kind of sparked that in you?
Honestly, the government shut down in October 2013. When I had been thinking about it through the debt ceiling stuff and all that, what political polarization would mean for our society and the way what you might call like national decision making was kind of spinning off. And I saw that as very concretely rooted in the experience of ordinary people when you talk about economic change or the increasing like complexity and fast changing our society and technology, all of these different things. Really, it's about the way that we experience social difference, and it's about the way that we experience our own place in the globe or national identity or the moral universe that you seek to occupy. And I saw a way that you could take the typical relationship between media and political polarization and flip it and reverse that dynamic some way.
Okay.
And that's what the web series has always meant to me. That's what I was going off to try to experiment with and like find a way. And I did not, again, I had to learn everything the hard way. I had no training. I never had any real support. It's been a no budget production from beginning to end. And I don't regret that at all.
Yeah. So you started the Southern Dialogues documentary series to really explore this.
Because I wanted answers about the future. Because again, polarization in our society, I see very literally as a refusal of a shared future, and we're letting it get out of hand.
Yeah.
If we see, so I was asking people, what do you see as the future for your corner of the world here or for your industry? What do you want to have happen? What would it mean to come together and do the best thing, do the right thing?
Did you get into any kind of conversations, you know, on like scarcity versus
all the time.
Abundance?
You want to know what I think is at the root of it all?
Yeah.
What I really think is at the root of it all? You and I, sitting here, Generation Y, early millennials, whatever, are already the first generation in American history to grow up to a lower standard of living than our parents. That had never happened before.
Yeah.
And this second generation is already looking us in the eye. As soon as that became clear to people, it boiled over like that. This is not something that we're willing to tolerate as a society, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I really do think is at the root of all. And, you know, you can call that inequality, you can call that growth, but...
Yeah, so you started this whole Southern Dialogues to really explore this political polarization, but you've quickly really focused on Chattanooga. Okay, so you've done a few things now.
Let me put it this way. When I left New York, it was like seeing it over again in every city that I went to. It had really exported this kind of like Brooklyn development model, our generation leading in consumers were very metro, and the infrastructure goes farther in cities. So for all of that, since the recession, definitely almost all of the economic growth has kind of been in metro areas. And long term, it's been the... So I see the ways that mid-sized cities take on these questions of the future, these, you know, big questions, and that is, again, technology, housing, industry, transportation, infrastructure, education, and identity, how to reclaim the polis. Chattanooga is...
microcosm.
And even more than that, I don't want to say model, because that's so overused in the way that we think about ourselves, but the innovation district, the Thrive 2055, the education, the Chattanooga 2.0. And there are a few, you know, you don't see that same kind of comprehensive initiative for real estate housing, but we need to.
Yeah.
And that's those are the four themes that I took. And it's, again, it's what are the big questions for the American city in microcosm?
Yep.
And it's gone on, it serves Chattanooga, but that's what I've been trying to keep that big picture the whole way through.
Now. Yeah. So let's get into some of the stuff you've created. But, so specifically when it comes to Chattanooga, you've done about an hour, 20-minute documentary called The Chattanooga Story.
That's what started it.
Right.
Because when I started doing this whole thing, and it was about, you know, civics and America. I mean, in large part, you know, the only reason that it makes sense to me that it is this straightforward is because I'm a Chattanoogan.
Right, right.
I was raised here.
Well, I'm actually very interested in talking about that, watching that film from the outside's an outsider's perspective, because I think the way you've laid it out is really interesting.
The best piece of feedback that I've ever gotten on it is that it does help people who move here catch up.
I think it definitely does. I actually sent it to a friend who just moved here last week. He signed a contract for a new job here, and
congratulations to your friend.
Yeah, I'm excited for him.
Having the web series be all about that, I thought that, you know, swinging back through the hometown, I could do something totally conventional, be the Renaissance story, and that would be cute. But I came back and, on the one hand, floored by how far, how fast the city had grown, transformed in just those 7 years. But then on the other hand, all of the things that made me super disaffected and not want to live here, none of that had been resolved.
Well, you know, before we go into start talking about some of the specific pieces of Southern dialogues, I know you've written a bit of an artist statement for Facebook I saw on there that I really want you to be able to share with our listeners.
Yeah, a version of it ran in the paper. That version was not as good, so thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. So so Rob's going to read this. It'll sound more like a monologue for about the next 4 minutes, but I think this is a really important artist statement, and I really enjoyed reading it, and I'd love for you guys to hear it.
What I'm really trying to get across here is, on the one hand, this window of time that we're in. And then on the other hand, the real question that I think that we will answer as a community over the next couple of years. There are times when cities choose their future. Chattanooga defines itself by having seized that opportunity at its darkest moment and gained a new life, transformed into the place that we live today. Right now may not feel like our darkest moment, but it is that time. When I came back, after growing up here and leaving for 7 years, I was blown away by how transformative the sprint this city was on. I was 24, having dropped everything and gone looking for answers about the future coming into shape, learning by doing documentary filmmaking as an excuse, and I saw in my hometown all the most dramatic aspects of change in the American city. So for a year and a half, I was able to follow a few major stories about local initiatives for innovation, for industry, for education, and to ask those leaders and others all around the city how they saw the change over this last generation and the next. Here was my question. Chattanooga's success in urban revitalization and economic diversification came at the same time as persistently increasing poverty and racial disparity. So how did that happen? What do we really learn from our experience? And at about the same time, the Times Free Press had undertaken the Poverty Puzzle, a long-term investigation into extreme poverty and inequality in our city. And at about the same time, a few community leaders had begun to take a hard look at how our school system creates economic opportunity or the lack thereof. And they presented that as Chattanooga 2.0. And at the same time, other community advocates and organizations had presented more research, more calls to action, that filled in a broader picture, which some people now call the Tale of Two Chattanoogas. And it's no coincidence that all of this came at the same time, because it is that time. We take stock of the work of the last generation and see what is set out for us in this next generation. And to me, there is only one Chattanooga. There's one story with many sides, one community, where in District 5, 9 out of 10 children are growing up in poverty, still famous around the world as the best town ever. One community where in last spring, when we had the wave of shootings, there was still an ad campaign that came out promoting Chattanooga as literally perfect. 50 years ago, before what we call the Renaissance, we were one city. We remember it as being a dirty post-industrial ruin, and it took 50 years of continuous effort over that time to get to where we are now. Today, the city is half the beneficiary of revitalization and reinvestment in new industry, and half still struggling against that same downward spiral. It's the reason many of us leave after childhood, especially if we have options, myself included. And for all the years when there were not nearly as many opportunities as there are now in this town, Chattanooga over-relied on private education and recruitment to fill them. So too much native talent went undeveloped or was sent away, and a generation came up in poverty. But then in a flash of the last several years, Chattanooga seems to promise a community of opportunity. Suddenly, whole areas of the city jump in value and activity. Suddenly, there are many thousand high-value jobs to be filled. This becomes an urgent challenge. how to realize these hard-won gains for ourselves, for our neighborhoods, and most importantly, for the kids. It will take years to unwind the worst effects of that disinvestment and inequality. But we also see how quickly these gains can either take root or pass us over. As uncertain as the future may be, from technology or art or new industry or education, Chattanooga is not shrinking from the challenge. We can create this community of opportunity for the next generation here, and we have to. We have to. That's what will define the true character of this community, especially because for all the people moving here now, as we become a community of choice, and the many more people who will move here, they see this. They want to make this community their own and to make that difference. I know very few people like me who moved away and have come back, though. One way or another, this city's transformation over the next 20 years is going to be at least as dramatic as over the last 20. And the truly scary prospect for us is not that increasing poverty and inequality would mean failure for Chattanooga, but that it would continue to pass for success. Do we become this community of opportunity, or do we default to a divided future? And that's why Dialogues Chattanooga is my attempt to get answers to that question, and to put them together, and to offer them as a resource. For you listening to this, I hope it helps you think through your own questions, your own best way to make that positive difference, to keep that perspective. Because again, this window of time, what are we doing in 2017, 2018? That will make all the difference. And so my pieces are about some of the biggest ways that Chattanooga is stepping up to the challenge.
Yeah, so I want to go through and start talking about these pieces.
Yeah.
So the first one you did was called The Chattanooga Story. And like I said, it's about an hour and 20-minute documentary piece.
I consider that a Southern Dialogues episode, not a Dialogues Chattanooga. Dialogues Chattanooga grew out of that, the response to that, because it splashed.
Yeah.
And it was something that people really seemed to want.
Well, so here's what I love. And we're going to put the links to all these, to Robert's website and all these videos into the show notes of this episode.
And also, please, to the Poverty Puzzle and to the 2.0 report.
We'll get there as we talk about your Dialogues Chattanooga pieces. But with this first one, the Chattanooga story that you created, I love what you've done with that because I think you have preserved a story. If you are somebody who doesn't know what's going on in Chattanooga and you watch the Chattanooga story, you've interlaced interviews from opposing viewpoints in such a way that the growth of Chattanooga and the existing problems of Chattanooga over the past 20 years are one story, and you don't see it as two different stories. That's what I love about what you created with that video, because I can watch that video, and I know every time there's an interview, I know what side of this divide each one of those people falls on, just because I know them, because I'm here. But if I were to show that to somebody moving here who doesn't know any of this backstory, it's what's amazing is they're going to hear from somebody who was a foundational figure of the past 30 years of transforming the city, and somebody who is literally working with homeless people right now. Both of them talking about the same movement in the city, and it's not clear what's a positive voice versus a negative voice. And so it really does portray the entire thing as one story.
Is it important to you to clarify which are positive voices and which are negative voices?
No, not at all. I don't think so.
Because there's a way of dividing advocates for the city into boosters and naysayers.
Yeah.
And I think we really have to get past that.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like you did that really well with your video, because I don't know that you can pull those people apart if you don't know who they are already. And so that's what I love, and I really encourage anybody to go and watch this video, because it does celebrate the success of this city over the past 30 years.
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
You want to hear another way? This is a little bit hyperbolic, but here's a way that I found to oversimplify it. You know, the most important thing to understand about Chattanooga over the last generation is that we're not Flint.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
The next most important thing to understand about Chattanooga over the last generation is that we are Flint.
That's great. Yeah, because like I said, it celebrates what's good, but it doesn't sweep under the rug the things that haven't changed, the things that we've, I don't even know if I want to use the word ignored over the past 30 years, but things that have definitely taken a back seat over the past 30 years. Yeah, it's an excellent piece. And you published that in 2015?
2014, November of 2014.
Okay, November of 2014. And
that was the same time that the Times Free Press started doing research on the Poverty Puzzle.
Okay. Well, and then you guys, I mean, you, like I said, you have a really all-star lineup within that video.
It is very, very much to the credit of this community, because I'm nobody. And I would call up and just say, I'm trying to get answers to these big questions for the city. And almost nobody tried to keep me out.
That's fantastic.
People were really willing to.
Yeah.
Even there were times when, for example, the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce let me grill him on diversity and leadership. Again, I have plenty of dissatisfactions and all of that for the way for Chattanooga, but I've gained so much respect and so much enthusiasm maybe for what we're able to do here.
Well, so talk to me a little bit more about the Chattanooga story in the video. Like,
well, I shot it in a month.
Yeah, well, what were your sort of assumptions going into it? What were your expectations? And then what were you left with at the end?
Okay, so the method for documentary filmmaking that I've developed is you always have to make assumptions explicit, right? But my way of doing that is to very explicitly call it a narrative conceit. And I basically ask each person that I interview to respond to that narrative conceit. And for that one, I'm pretty sure it was just, what are the real lessons of Chattanooga's transformation?
Yeah.
It's evolved more because I've ended up chasing more stories that are more concrete than I expected. Because the reason for that method is that you just have these conversations and they end up being the same conversation over and over again. And you can tie them together so that all these different perspectives really do jive.
Right, right.
For the Dialogues Chattanooga episodes, I think the education one was supposed to evaluate this idea of the great equalizer in public education. The innovation one was supposed to ask how you build an innovation economy from scratch. I mean, how you build up from, because we had none of this before. Things like that. And the Thrive 2055 one was supposed to be asking this big question about how local economies and the global economy are meeting each other in big economic development. So that's gotten a little bit lost, and maybe I've outgrown it, but it definitely that's where I was coming from at that time.
So when it comes to the Chattanooga story video, I highly recommend everybody go out there and watch it and share it with people who don't live in Chattanooga.
Especially because you will see how far I have come. I'm not exactly flattered when you go back and watch it for where my skill level was at that point, like conversationally, maybe intellectually. Like, yeah, I'm proud of it, but
I think I've come a long way. Yeah, I mean, the art side of it's really important.
It's just learning by doing this whole time.
What I think is clear is you were asking the right questions, right? You were seeking out the right people. And so you knew how to tell the story. And I think that's definitely what's more important about that video than even maybe your skills as a filmographer. Because that'll develop. But I think what's more important when you're doing documentaries like you're doing is the intangible quality of asking good questions and knowing how to talk to people. And I think that's what you did really well in that video.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And so please go out and watch that. But let's talk about your newest series now. So your newest series is Dialogues Chattanooga.
Yeah. And it started because there was such a reaction to that first piece about Chattanooga. I think people were hungry for it. And when I saw that, I was like, well, we talked about this a moment ago, seeing this big context, this big picture for Chattanooga's development, the story was all here. And the city, leadership in the city, was already running with the stories that I wanted, which were civic initiatives to tackle these big, intractable questions about the world changing around us and what makes the difference for the next generation. And I basically just showed up over and over again with my camera to everything that I thought was important for moving the story forward for a year. I'm sure I was very obnoxious. But to anybody listening to this now who participated with the program or who interacted with me along the way or gave an interview, thank you so much. I really hope you think that I got the story right and that we got to make this difference. We are doing this work here in Chattanooga right now.
All right, so let's talk through the Chattanooga Dialogues series that you're doing right now. You've released some videos. You have more coming out.
Yeah, there are a few stories that ended up being very well self-contained, and so I made those into short docs, like 9-minute episodes, and those I'll be putting out starting already. The first one came out over this last weekend, and the next one will come out over this next week, and then I'm thinking later in the spring I'm putting together a bigger premiere event that'll show
Great.
The whole thing, and then I'll take it on tour around the community.
And so the first one that came out was on the poverty puzzle, correct?
That's right. And it was the best way, I think, to put the most contentious single question right up front. And again, I give the paper a ton of credit for putting the resources into that. It did. They took all of the numbers and put them in one place. It is a resource guide for understanding some of the really hard questions for the community. But it should only be one piece of this broader conversation that we need to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Because then you also, okay, so the first one was on the poverty puzzle. The next one you have coming out is on the jail.
That's right.
Is that correct? Okay. Yeah.
And the reason to do that one really is because for all of the really profound civic initiatives and community engagement around these other big questions for the city, there has not been any equivalent interest in what it's going to take to build a new jail or to protect constitutional rights for people who are arrested in this community. And that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
So I give the sheriff's department a lot of credit. They gave me an on-camera tour, a lot of access, interviews with the command staff, interviews with inmates. And that's coming up as a decision that the community is making in the next couple of months. The Chattanooga is home to the first ever privatized correctional facility.
Oh, wow.
Corrections Corporation of America is now rebranded as Core Civic, and their contract with the county expires on April Fool's Day.
Huh.
So this is something that I really wish that the broader community would take a very serious interest in and would own as a community institution, just as much as we own the schools, just as much as we own the city or our church communities or all of that, because it touches everybody.
And when is that going to be released?
Over the next week.
Okay. So poverty puzzle, the jail.
And then the next one after that will be all about education.
Education. Okay, good. Anything after that?
Depending on how the calendar works, for the other one that would really stand on its own are to do with the Innovation District.
Okay.
The magic that's gone on here.
Magic. The big reason I wanted you to read that artist statement at the beginning, or, you know, ended up being in the middle of our talk, is because I do think that that is an incredible guiding framework for what you're doing and really lays out what it is you're going to explore in the city and provides people with the resources to help explore those things. And so this is where I really want to kind of push you and hear from your perspective after doing that big documentary, how you feel about the Renaissance versus the current problem that we have. Because, you know, when you were talking earlier, you mentioned none of these are, this is not a Chattanooga problem, right? Like, ultimately, what we're seeing happen in our city is happening in every metro area in the country. And so, but that doesn't give us an excuse not to deal with these issues. Obviously, we still have to figure these problems out.
And we have every opportunity and way more resources and way more background to figure these problems
right.
out than most places.
So are we in a position as a city now to be able to look at ourselves honestly in the mirror and correct what we see?
God, I hope so. I mean, I do. I believe in us. I see incredible work that's getting done all the time. I'm really, really encouraged. And it's going to be about us, everybody listening to this, people that you meet at random, people that may don't feel like they have a particular stake in, you know, the downtown set
right.
or in the inner city or in the north or in the rural county. Or we are a very divided community, and seeing how we are all of a shared future is what I hope my work is good for, to make that.
And so in the midst of all of your interviews,
intuitive.
did it feel like everybody was honest enough to understand the problem that exists in the city now? You know, back when you were doing the Chattanooga Story one, obviously when you're doing the Chattanooga Dialogues pieces, you're kind of talking to people who are at the front end of dealing with some of the problems in our city.
Well, of course, everybody is honest enough. I don't know if I would put it that way. The candor is again, very heartening. Nobody shrinks from these questions. And nobody doesn't know.
Right.
There are a lot of different leadership institutions, a lot of different interests, perspectives, communities around the city, and, you know, sure, they have different priorities, different accountabilities, and that will be reflected in the way that their leaders or their views come across. And that's the editorial responsibility that I take on, is how to put it all together in a way that is not only fair to everybody, but to fair to all the voices that don't appear in it. I mean, I'm incredibly dissatisfied with my own work in that it doesn't reflect the community well enough. I was only ever working on my own. I never had any help step up to do the project with me. And also because, to the city's credit, it was full speed ahead on trying to get these solutions to begin with. I had to chase to keep up. So I was never really able to get outside of, you know, quote unquote leadership circles in terms of who appears in the documentaries. And that's a problem. That's a very serious problem because they end up being overwhelmingly white. And that is a reflection of where we are at the community right now. And that's not something that's acceptable to me, but it's what I have to present. And it's very important to put that up front. This is not something that we as a community are going to be able to reproduce. And there are a lot of groups that are really trying to show leadership on this. They call it intentionality. Yeah. They bring in outside voices at every opportunity. They're really thinking about it, different ways to use their resources. And that's really important. That's really important. But there is no eliding the, again, divisions that have been allowed to reproduce themselves so far. Yeah. And what it's going to mean to overcome those.
Well, and then, like I said, what I'm excited about for upcoming is you're not only exploring the problems, you are exploring the solutions as well, right? Like when you do your documentary episode on Chattanooga 2.0.
Yeah, I would like to... I don't think that I am exploring the problems. I think that I just am exploring the solutions. And those solutions have different terms to different people. Sometimes they're conditional.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're open-ended, and that's hard. Sometimes they're risky, and that's even harder. Risk aversion is the surest form of self-sabotage that concerns me about the way that we move forward here, because there is no way to control these outcomes.
Right.
We are going to have to trust each other.
Right. Well, Rob, like I said, I feel like we are a little bit of kindred spirits in this, because the whole point of the podcast is to be able to connect people to some of the bigger stuff that's happening in the city, right? Like Thrive 2055, which you've mentioned several times. Chattanooga 2.0 was the first episode we did to make people aware of some of the bigger narratives that are happening in the city. And I feel like it's exactly what you're doing.
Those are particular sets of solutions that are being offered by leadership. And that's super important, and nobody should again shrink from the opportunity that they present. You can take an active role, and those are great ways to bring it all together.
And what I hear you saying, though,
is that that can only be one part.
Exactly.
That can only be one part of the way that this community moves forward. I believe in them. I really do. I feel really blessed to be able to learn from the way that they've done it and to see it roll out. And I have total support that I take everywhere that I go. And the message still is, what is your side of this story?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I hear you pushing people towards is to not shirk personal responsibility as well. In terms of we can't just rely on...
And to not dispute collective responsibility.
Well, exactly. But how can you just even get to know your neighbor better?
Yeah, because again...
Like that simple sort of citizenship... And how can you be a part of Chattanooga 2.0? But yeah, so there are these big ideas out there, but I think too often we look to our leaders for the solution how can we step into this as well?
There's also the other side of that, but because the city has been so divided and so unequal for so long, and this whole time that, you know, this the downtown thing has driven in the life of the city, that there's been this focus on the riverfront and tourism, and now big industrial recruitment, and now tech. Several other whole sections of the community think that that doesn't serve them. And historically speaking, they're not wrong. It's also very wrong, I think, to put the onus on, you know, quote unquote, the other Chattanooga to come and meet the downtown set. Yeah. For their solutions. No, everybody listening to this, everybody that I've talked to all along the way knows what positive difference they want to see made in their community, and for the most part is working to make that difference.
Yeah.
I think about bringing it all together, how getting on the same page, and most importantly, how to build trust.
Yeah.
So that these leadership initiatives have legitimacy,
right,
and are able to reach people,
yeah,
and are able to, you know, people are able to see themselves in what opportunities the big interests are able to present.
And so when I say picking, you know, personal responsibility, I certainly don't mean picking yourselves up by your bootstraps type of thing. I mean, how can you help build trust in your community, right? Like, how can you be involved in things like Chattanooga 2.0? How can you get to better know your neighbors? And basically just arguing for that return to a local citizenship.
Yeah. And I think that means to listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hope that my work is that opportunity to listen. And I think it means not needing it to all happen at once. I definitely struggled with that when I was around looking for, you know, the answer. I was looking for answers to these really hard questions. And there are a million answers. There are a million solutions. Like I said, you know, you listen, your listeners, you probably have been thinking of, you could probably think of 10 of them right now.
Yeah.
And be putting it all together. I mean, that's what started the Renaissance. Was it called it like the vision portfolio. It took mm-hmm. years, and they put it together into 40 action items, 40 of them. And they got a high 30s of them done.
I think it's 38.
Yeah. They got them done over time. And that's what got the ball. That's not what got the ball rolling. That's what got the job done. The way of coming together as the community and of seeing the shared future and the difference that we want to make. Yeah. And it's not letting anybody lose that momentum for us, because again, that's why I was asking that question all along the way. So how did it happen that we still reproduced this viciously unequal economy in the society of the city, and how do we not reproduce it again right now?
Well, guys, the Chattanooga story is out there, and Rob is in this
Chattanooga
old
story career. Is old news, dude. Dialogues Chattanooga. Dialogues Chattanooga on Facebook is Dialogues Cha, southerndialogues.com/Chattanooga. You can get in touch with me. And the only way that this is going to work, as far as my work is concerned, is you like it, you share it, you stay tuned for updates, you see if there's anything in it that moves you.
Yeah.
Please spread the word.
Yep. And so right now, he's got an episode out on the poverty puzzle. The episode's coming out in the jail soon. And look forward to checking in 2.0 and other episodes coming out this year.
And look out. We're going to premiere this spring. And it's off to the races. Because this is that time.
Well, Rob, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, man.
Well, thank you to Robert for this intense conversation and for sharing the work he's doing here in Chattanooga. I would love for all of you to take time to watch his films and learn more about these challenges facing our community and really the incredible work that is happening in order to overcome them and create a more equal and just city. You can find links to Robert's film in our show notes, and you can find his website at southerndialogues.com. You can also connect specifically with his Dialogue Chattanooga series at facebook.com/dialogues.ca. So thank you to our studio sponsor, Lamp Post Group. You can learn more about them at lamppostgroup.com, and you can check out their podcast, Dynamo Discussions, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, just a reminder that today is election day here in Chattanooga, so please go out and vote for mayor and city council, and if you come in today with your I Voted sticker, you get a free cup of our Mad Priest coffee. Finally, I'd love for you all to subscribe to the podcast. That way, whenever a new episode is released, it'll be right there waiting for you each and every Tuesday morning. So thank you all for being here. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you again next week.